I remember a time when I happened to be traveling, and for some unknown reason, I decided to take a lot of bags. Yeah, you can laugh. I wasn't thinking about it until the point where I had to actually manhandle these bags through the airport. You know, camera gear, you got tripods and hard cases and soft cases and all sorts of different things. I didn't have a trolley. Pick up a few, take a few steps, drop a few. The whole time just cringing on the inside at what people are thinking about me. I don't think it was so much worrying about what people thought of me, but maybe the person I was traveling with. Uncle John. John Alley to some of you, Pastor John, Senior Minister. He's just waiting there with his bag for me. I'm like, sorry, John. Uncle John, grab my bags, get a bit further, drop some more. It's all right. Man, I was just churning on the inside. Anyways, got them, checked them in. Feeling good about that. Can rest now. And when you travel internationally, you've got to fill out your departure card. So normally, I try to do that real quick. I don't want to be held up. And I start to fill it out. I'm being very particular. I memorize my passport number, so I know that. Get the flight number right. VA125. Yep. Probably took me 20 minutes to fill out a small form about this big. So as you can imagine, more cringing. He's done and he's waiting, looking at me, and I'm like, I'm just trying to get it right. And then we're approaching the immigration official. I got my green slip, and I have this wonderful thought. Passport. I can tell by some of your faces, you know what I was feeling. Not good. Start praying prayers. Oh, come on, Father, please. And I found my passport. It was so fine. So got it, presented it to the immigration official, only to have pages fall out. It's getting worse, right? Manhandle this thing back together, like, there wasn't even a place for a stamp. I know you don't have to get a stamp, but I wanted my stamp. Flicking through, man, just, and he's the whole time just waiting, watching me. And I'm just thinking, I'm never going to get to travel again. This is so bad. This is not me. You know, I never do this stuff. Something's going on. Something's really wrong. Anyways, they got the stamp, got through, could relax. And you'll all be relieved to know that it was that point I woke up. So here's you thinking all the time that I was this stupid. But it was a dream. But I know that those feelings feel real. And I know that, have any of you ever had a dream like that, right? I remember having a dream where, for some reason, I had to run, and I just couldn't. You go to run, you know how to run. It's like, I know this body, I know this. I've run before, it's very simple. Nothing. Go to clap. You really want to give someone a clap for some reason? Nothing. It's so simple. And I've heard about people that have those dreams. They're going to do something very important, give a speech, university, schooling, something like that. When they get up to give their speech, they look at what they're wearing and realize that not enough or not the right kind. You know these feelings. And I know better than that. And you know better than that. They're not things you normally do. They're not things you do for fun because it's not fun. I know the authority. I know the law. I know that when I go up to that immigration official, I need to be serious. I can't just say, you know what? I'm sorry. I actually left my passport at home. But I'm traveling with John, and maybe I'll just, what about if I leave you my license and when I come back in a few weeks, I'll just collect it from you. No, it's not going to happen. Your travel's done. Your ticket's gone. You can't get your money back. I'm not that dumb. I know the authority. We know the authority. We know the laws. We're not that careless. I know that when I'm invited around to someone's place for dinner, even if I'm really hungry, it's not a good move to pick up some food right before you get to the house and then finish it really quick and then walk in and say, I'm sorry, I'm not hungry anymore, but thank you for inviting me. We know not to do these things. I know I have responsibilities to act a certain way because of my knowledge. Because I know how it's meant to be. The Bible has some things to say about some responses we're meant to have. Just going to look at Thessalonians. We're going to make it to chapter 5, but right now, just looking at chapter 1, just want to give you a bit of an overview. Paul's writing to the Thessalonian church, chapter 1, and the city is called Thessaloniki, modern-day Greece. The church is new, brand new church. He'd planted it in like 40 AD, 50 AD. Throughout Thessalonians, he's speaking about the way that we're meant to respond to each other as believers. And he's talking about foundational things. You get to see a bit of his heart as an apostle, heart as a church planner, heart of just the man who he is. And it's interesting because Paul was driven from this area because of persecution. And he's writing this letter to them, and he had sent Timothy on his behalf to go and speak to the church, to go and encourage the church. And Timothy brought such a great report about these people. Timothy was encouraged of their faith and their example to the other churches. They turned from the Gentile idol-worshipping people that they were to Christians. And we have a glimpse of some of the stuff we've been hearing about the nation changing, about the world changing. Like, Christianity is so new, and it's just such bringing such a change in that country. We also get to see this thing I want to call a nexus, or this connection between Paul and these people, an apostle and the church. And I know that we've heard this before from Uncle John, but as you read the first chapter, you see this connection between the ministry of Paul and the church. And it's not like, Paul, we want you to come and speak at our conference. We'd be really blessed if you came and spoke a few sessions and then prayed for us. But it says that the people longed. They longed to see him. They longed to be with him. And he longed to be with them. There's something different going on there. It's a different level. There's a heart longing connection with this leader. And he said, I'm longing to be with you, and I'm longing to come and maybe supply something that's lacking in your faith, speak into you, bless you. So our text, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3. You know this, it's familiar. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Paul's continually praying for them. We remember before God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 and 5. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has, what does it say? He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. With the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Goes on, you know how we've lived among you. What has he done? Chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words. There was something different happening in the ministry there in Thessalonica. If I said it right again, sorry. Something different happening there. Where Paul could acknowledge that the Lord's really chosen you because when we came and ministered, something different happened. We ministered not just simply words, but also power and deep conviction. I remember a few weeks ago, Uncle John, he shared a message called Who We Are, about our history as a church, and a people and significant events that have taken place. And he stated this comment, which we've heard before, but not in the same words, but something that he felt like the Lord said to him. When a people don't know their history, they're likely to repeat it. If you're new to the church, even if you're not new and you haven't heard that message, please take a listen of that. It's at the website. Who we are covers so many really important things. And I want to just ask you, have you thought about that since he made that comment? Because you know, when he made it, I thought, you know what? I say to my RE class all the time, because we say all this stuff and sometimes there's no response, and we say, okay, so if that's true, do you believe it's true? Yes. Okay. If it's true, then what? What are you going to do? So it's X. He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit. You might be wondering why we're looking at this right now. I just want you to think about the journey that we've been on. Now, I say we. I'm new on this journey. I've been around a few years, 8 years or something, before that on the podcast. But think about the journey as a church. The light, the wisdom that's come from Chuck Clayton, the books that have been written by Uncle John, the freedom and the love experienced amongst us, the clear calling as a people to go and take this message, to go and share it with other people, and people calling Uncle John, can you come and preach community in our church? Can you come and talk about sonship? Because we're great, because we're special, because we've got all these great things happening, it's all about us? No. But, like the Thessalonians, we're chosen. And just at the start of this message, I just wanted to encourage us and remind us, thinking of what Uncle John already said last week, going through all the amazing things that God's done over the few years, to just remind us to go, you know what? We've been chosen. We can see that we've been chosen because the things that have happened have been by the Holy Spirit with deep conviction. That there's been things that have happened that have not come from just a good idea, from just someone just trying to write a book, but from a people wanting to be at the forefront of what God was doing. Young people, listen up. I'm talking to myself here too. When he said that, and all those young at heart too. Man, okay. We don't want to repeat history. We don't want to try and fight for stuff that's already been won, that's already been established. There's grace we need to take a hold of. So knowing what's been said, knowing that we're chosen, knowing what we ought to do, we've got to try and get a hold of this message too. We've got to try and live out this message. We've got to soak up those anointings, that grace, that wisdom, that knowledge that's in this house freely all the time. But do we know it? Can we see it? The great thing about all of this is it's not like we have to really try and fight for it. There's a lot of inheritance sitting on this church right now that we can soak up for free. And that's what we're meant to do. We have to go out and figure out things. We've got to soak it in. But you've got to be able to know it. You've got to somehow see there's stuff happening here. How do I? It's there. You've got to be able to perceive it. That brings me to our main text today in chapter 5. I'm sure you know this one. Chapter 5, verse 12. Thessalonians, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, who admonish you, hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. It's the end of Paul's letter, and he's finishing it off with how they should be interacting with their leaders. I just want to read it again and read it from the Amplified version, just to add a just different angle to it. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to appreciate those who diligently work among you, in brackets, recognize, acknowledge, and respect your leaders, who are in charge over you in the Lord and who give you instruction. And, brackets, we ask that you appreciate them and, close bracket, hold them in the highest esteem and love because of their work, brackets, on your behalf. And then he finishes with, live in peace with one another. It's interesting that when you see Paul write, he often calls them brothers and sisters. And initially today, the reminder is, again, that we're family. And he is the key man of the New Testament, key apostle, knew so much, and yet he saw himself as one with the church there, brothers and sisters. From the start of the church, this is the inception, they saw themselves as family. And it was consistent with Paul writing all the time to the church. And what a good reminder for us. We belong to our leaders. We belong to the church. I know we know this, but also that heart connection between an apostle and the church, the family connection, the love. To think that Paul is our brother and to see that he has such a big heart for people just shows us the heart that the apostles have for their people too. So, what does he say to us? He says that we are to acknowledge those who work hard among you. Can we put that, those two verses up, please? Acknowledge. Now, this is only one part of the truth, and the word does not go deep enough. When you look at the root word, the Greek word, not a good word. It's true, but it's not enough. We're not merely just to acknowledge the hard work of our leaders. We can speak about Uncle John. He's not here today. Oh, John, yeah, he works hard. We're not merely to acknowledge them in the sense of when we see them at church. Good, Uncle John. Good to see you. Where it's just a bit of an acknowledgement. It's quite an interesting dynamic when you think about the depths of these words because, young people, with our interaction on social media, we can have a tendency to not be as deep, as loving, as kind as we should be, because now a lot of our interaction with people is click, like, click, unhide, or hide. Whatever you want. I'm sick of hearing from that person, hide. Relationships on our terms. When I'm sick of hearing from you, shut up. Don't have to see it. I just want to watch more of those things or see more of that. And the other thing that happens is, amongst all the junk in our feed, can be something very important, something very heart-moving, but it's lowered to the same level as just trash. We read this word and we just think, yeah, acknowledge or whatever. The Amplified version said, appreciate. It's good, but not enough. I appreciate you, Uncle John, and then go on with my life. I'm focusing on Uncle John today, not just because he's not here, because he's our senior minister, and he's the one that I know cares, loves, has put more time into any of us than anyone else. I know. But we can also apply this to the other leaders, and we will. Tony's not here today, but someone, big effort on our hearts, Mr. Hood. The things that I'm saying, we're going to apply to them because you'll notice, acknowledge those. It's not just one person. And for us, we have many people that we can do this for. But this word, acknowledge or appreciate, actually is more like the past act of seeing with the present act of knowing. So having already seen them, having already seen their life, being able to see who they are, and then walking out of that knowing who they are, knowing what was seen. It's something much more. It's not just, g'day John, thanks for that, acknowledge, appreciate. No. It's more. So the question, what do you see? When you see Uncle John, what do you see? Do you see him? Do you see he's a good man, and or is it much more? Because the word means having seen, knowing. See, I know him, and I tell that story. I know what he's like when he travels, and I've just traveled him a couple of times, and I know how I want to travel, and I want to travel quick, and I want to get through the thing fast and not be a hindrance and just be a blessing. And I know how he likes his tea, and I know that he likes his coffee molten, boiling hot, and you want to do that. I know he wants a tractor. I know things about him. But have I stopped there? Because the call for us today is to see him afresh. And from seeing that, living out of that knowledge. I've just got a short list here, but to see the calling, to see the wisdom, to see the love, the fruit of his life, the obedience, the sacrifice, the patience, the care, the support, the generosity, the prayer. Man, I know that before I came here, my mum would call Uncle John and ask for wisdom and insights and what do I do? I'm sure she would have called him about me. What do I do about John? Pray this kind of prayer. Do that. Believe this. And I know that other people around the world call him up. And I know that each of us have benefited from this man's life. Even if it's just sitting here on a Sunday. Because I know the things we hear, we might be speaking to someone, we're like, oh no, that's not right, because the Bible says this, and blah, blah, blah. Why? Because you heard it preached here by him. And the reason we have this victorious eschatology, he's brought it up before us, and like, well, yeah, what was I believing? Why? How did I know that stuff? What? The list goes on. Last week, Key Kingdom business people in LA, we need your advice, Uncle John. Well, not Uncle John, but you know what I mean. You know, you need my advice. What do you see today? Do you see all of this stuff? Or have you stopped at just merely appreciating or just acknowledging? Our text goes on. Who work hard among you. He works hard. Mr. Hood works hard. Tony works hard. We don't often see it. This ain't no 9-to-5 job. Check in, go home, have your dinner, come back to work. This is a life calling. This is a burden they carry 24/7. They enjoy it. It's not a big, heavy load, but at the same time, what's our view of it? They work hard amongst us. They don't work just hard just for us, and their heart isn't just for us. Their heart is for people all over the place. Mr. Hood ringing pastors all over Australia, checking how they are. Very often, it's easy to forget it. It's easy to walk in, come to church, hello, go home. Yeah, they're a good leader. It's not enough. It goes on to say, who care for you in the Lord and admonish you. Not really a word I use. Easy one to ignore. They care for us. They care for us in the Lord. They're responsible for us in the Lord. That's why they sometimes raise concerns with us. That's why sometimes they have the blessed opportunity to speak to us about some things in our life that may not be right. Sometimes we don't see it that way, but we need to see that, what are they doing? They're doing their job. They're doing what the Lord's called them to do. Admonish, instructing, teaching. Teaching from here. Teaching when you meet with them during the week and say, I'm struggling with this. That's their job. They do so well at it. I know sometimes if you ever are, Uncle John's so good at talking to you about stuff. But how strange it is sometimes how we react. And yet they have our best interests in heart, and they're watching over us in the Lord. And yet so often on the inside you just feel like going, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. But they're doing their job. They are the ones that know. And it leads us to this next point, which really is the kicker. It really is the guts of this thing. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. When you read the commentaries about this part of Scripture, we don't have enough English words to emphasize what the writer is trying to say. The Greek explains it amazingly. We just can't do it. Hold them in the highest regard. So the best we can get is, it's like importing esteem, high regard, and love, and mixing them together in excessive amounts, like compounding interest. Growing and getting bigger and better and larger. Our love for them is to be joined with esteem, high regard, and high regard with love, and both of these to abound and superabound towards them. Much more than just hold them in the highest regard. It's a compounding, growing respect, love, honor, acknowledgement. Wow. And why? Because of their work. And what's their work? Watching over us. Watching over our hearts. Watching over our families. Speaking into our lives. We've got to do more than just appreciate what we have. We've got to do more than just acknowledge what we have. Our love is to grow, be excessive amounts towards them. And this comes from seeing who they are, remembering what they've done. Legend has it that Pablo Picasso was in a park. A bold woman walked up to him. It's like, oh, Pablo, is that you? Oh, yes, it's me. Ah, would you sketch me? Would you just take a moment to, sketch me? Sure, no problem. He examined her briefly with a single pencil line. Sketched her amazingly, handed it to her, and she's blown away. Wow, you've really captured, it's amazing. How much do I owe you? $5,000. Oh, what? It only took you a few seconds. Madame, it took me a lifetime. The sketch so quick, the woman so quick to just think, a couple of bucks. And the key, it was a lifetime that set him up to do that sketch. What do you see today? What do you see when you look at Uncle John? And do you see enough? Do you see the big picture? Or is it like the lady in the park? The advice and the preaching and the other stuff comes easy, comes quick. But is there value put on it? And with the value comes response, action. The interesting thing, though, is this isn't just life for him. He has a life of experience. Mr. Hood, life of experience. This is something greater than that. This is calling. This is anointing. This is the Lord's positioning. This ain't just no normal job. I'm just wondering if we need to look at them afresh, find a fresh love, value, appreciation, respect. Because of their work, we need to know our history and not take for granted the grace, all the grace that we've received. You might be new here and you don't really know Uncle John, or you might not know Auntie Hazel, any of the leaders. You might even, depending how long you've been here, maybe you're a bit suspicious, maybe you're just cautious. My encouragement to you is to commit to walking in relationships with leaders here or your leaders. Dale Carnegie says in the book of How to Win Friends and Influence People that if someone annoys you, gets on your nerves, if you don't understand why they act a certain way, you should get to know them better. So if you're new, there's more to know. If you've been around a bit and you know things, you know the stories and you know stuff that's happened, I know that sometimes, from my own position, that offences cause fences and keep you back. And it's possible that anyone in leadership, even in your workplace or in the church, sometimes you can read something the wrong way and you're the one reading it that way, and it's up to us to just go, you know what, I'm letting it go. It doesn't matter. And maybe you're in that position today. Shirley felt this prompting to take up this offering. And maybe we all can think about what our contribution could be to that in the light of the depths of what we've looked at in the scriptures today. I didn't touch on it. We know in Timothy, he says that those that are in charge of preaching, teaching, worthy of double honor. It's like this. Hold them in the highest regard. It's a greater amount than what we generally walk in, but we can go there. Maybe today we could be quicker to seek his wisdom, to seek his blessing. I know sometimes you just think, oh, nah, someone else can have it because, you know what, they need it more. When really it can be a bit of false humility. You think, I'm letting someone else have it, but really you need it. And you've got wealth. You've got wisdom. You've got such grace here to seek. You don't have to try and figure it out yourself. There's stuff there to soak up. Young people, let's be quicker. Seek those blessings from Uncle John. To get his prayer. To seek his counsel. To seek Mr. Hood. Maury told me that when people are in debt, he was doing this cap money course, often people in huge debt, takes them 1 year, pick up the phone and ask for help. How long does it take us? Let's get to know him more and let's stand with him. Think about whether you want to give in that offering or what you will give, what you can do. But The minimum we can do is really stand with him, pray for him, bless him, because I know what Paul writes in other parts of the scriptures. He says, pray that we'll have utterance. Pray that we'll be able to do this ministry. And we saw that connection and love between him and the church. And I know that we can be a people here where he's loved around the world, but he's loved most here. Where we walk in that highest regard here. We take our eyes off us, not thinking about us, but trying to find that. And the great thing is, even that grace, that ability, we can find it today. Because God has established this grace in the earth. That when he came at Pentecost, the church changed. That the early church had that love and connection. And I know that we can have it here. We don't have to strive for it, fight for it. We can receive it from our Father in heaven. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the wealth, the wisdom, the riches, the grace, the good things that you have put in our leaders in this house. And on behalf of us all, I'm sorry for any moment that we may have taken that for granted. Any moment we've let one situation rule over another instead of keeping that high esteem and regard. And Father, I know that we, your children, can ask and it will be given. And Father, I know that you want to give to us grace. And I know that you're a good Father and you give us our inheritance. And you've given us inheritance through these leaders, through Uncle John. But Lord, I thank you for the inheritance we have through you this day, that you can grant us grace. And so I ask that in Jesus' name, that we as a church would come to new levels of grace in loving and blessing our leaders in supernatural ways. Lord, in the same way that you've given us community anointings, I ask that you would give us anointing to love our leaders and to be the biggest blessing to them. I thank you, Lord, and we receive it in Jesus' name. We rest in your goodness that you will do this thing. I'm just wondering whether we can sing. And the song I was thinking of was the thirsty one. I don't know the title of it, sorry. But as we sing, it talks about coming to that fountain. Let's just sing it over our lives afresh, knowing that it's that fountain that's giving us that grace to love our leaders. And as we sing all those words, let's sing them happy, let's sing them with a smile, and just receive that grace afresh today, because God wants to give it. Thank you.